What's up, insiders? Thanks for tuning back in to this latest episode of Therapy Insiders, part of the UpDoc Media family. When you finished school, were you interested in opening up your own business? Did you even know anything about business? Maybe when you were going through school, you had this inkling or this drive or push or even just curiosity to open up a clinic, but you didn't. Or maybe you did and you've been growing ever since. I'm sure you've heard us say on this podcast that when you finish physical therapy school, even if you start a business, you're still a clinician that's running a business. But that's a daunting thing. We've mentioned several times, business is hard. It's a lot to learn. So you don't usually hear of students transitioning right to business. But the question is coming up more and more often. So we got someone that actually did that, Ryan Smith. Ryan has been gung-ho about business ever since I've known him for a year and a half now. Ryan's in my mentorship group that I do with Jeff Moore, the PT Masterminds, and he's been soaking up information with the goal of starting a practice right out of school. On this episode, we talked to Ryan about how he did that, and we introduce a journey where we're going to talk to Ryan in 6 months and then 12 months. Now, on to Therapy Insiders after a word from our sponsor. Therapy Insiders is sponsored by Ascend Business Summit, the ultimate business summit for rehab therapists. Now, you can't have an awesome business summit without giving away an awesome award, right? Just wouldn't work. So has your practice been achieving some incredible business results this year? Have you been really doing incredible, innovative, accomplished things at your practice? Then share your success story. Enter to win Ascend Practice of the Year. Go to ascendevent.com and enter for your chance to win. What do you get if you win Practice of the Year? Stick around to the middle of this episode where I chat with Heidi Chenanga, president of WebPT, to give you an idea of what being the Ascend Practice of the Year really means and what you get. I promise you, it's some cool stuff. Spoiler alert, one of the prizes is an UpDoc Media digital marketing package, 1 month free, $1,500 face value. Head over to ascendevent.com and enter for your chance to be Practice of the Year. Now, on to Therapy Insiders. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders Podcast, part of the UpDoc Media family. Dr. Gene Chirakarad here with Dr. Joe Palmer, Dr. Erson Religioso. Gentlemen, how is the summer going so far?
It's going great, Gene.
Is it officially summer already?
Oh, who gives a crap, Erson? It's after Memorial Day. It's summertime.
Well, by the time this is live, it will be. So it's going great. Really hot here in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, we didn't really have a springtime here in Maryland, did we, Joe?
No, we went right into summer. But, hey, you complain about being too cold, you complain about it too hot, but it's the weather.
I'm just asking questions. There's no complaining. You're insinuating a complaint here. I was just making conversation. I was making a little small talk here. This is a podcast.
All right.
It's all we do is small talk. Do you have a baby yet, Joe?
No baby.
Any day now, man. We keep saying.
We're going to have like a special episode for that. Special report episode. Breaking news.
Not yet.
Yeah, Joe will be broadcasting from the delivery room.
Live from the delivery room. Simultaneous Periscope and podcast.
Joe, tell your wife to be quiet. We can't hear anything.
Damn it, Joe. What is it about her? Come on now.
You could have done a 8-episode arc with you, Erson, right?
Yes. That's almost true. Almost.
It's an entire Netflix series. It's a whole season.
Seasons.
Worth.
Yeah. A whole season's worth.
Man.
Ongoing, too.
It just won't stop. It just won't stop. You know what else won't stop? Joe Nursen, is our continued focus on business conversations. He just won't stop.
Do you think of these transitions?
No, they just come to me.
That's pretty good.
Whenever it comes to me, I just go with it. Instead, like I will literally cut you off mid-sentence if I have a nice transition that comes to me as you're speaking.
It's a gift, Gene. It's a gift.
I wouldn't call that a nice transition if you have to cut one of us off.
Well, it's a nice transition. It's me not being nice to you, but the transition still stands as the
transition
itself.
Is nice. Yeah,
the transition comes first, Thurston, and then you just ruined my transition. Speaking of business, and I was actually just reflecting on our conversations because somebody tweeted at me, like they said they listened to like the first three episodes, or they started listening way back. And they quoted something, and I think they quoted something from Joe, and actually two different tweets. And I started thinking back when we started in 2013 and how far we've progressed, Joe. Like, remember our first guest, Jim Meadows, and we broke that into three episodes. And that was pretty much all clinical stuff that we talked about. I think the first one we talked about T-spine stuff. We talked about low back pain and just seeing the progression of how we... Somebody asked me about the wobble technique, and I think my mindset has changed a good bit on wobbles and manual therapy in itself, and just the transition from the clinical stuff to so much business stuff has been kind of cool to see that trajectory of the podcast.
We're more eclectic now. I think we talk about, you know, more things. I think we touch on a lot of different topics, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Each of us has a pretty broad background, and I think we have a pretty good variety of listeners as well, so it works.
You almost ruined another transition, Urson. Almost, but not quite. I think it's been...
Is that my new thing?
Almost. We'll see. I think it'll be hard for you to mess up the name of this guest today, but I will put it past you.
I could try.
I think one of the coolest things of doing a podcast and recording everything that we do, and like we tell all our guests and listeners, like we don't plan, and we don't prepare our guests for anything because we like the spontaneity of the conversations. But we've recorded our transition and our journey from being fairly set in our mindset too, like Joe said, being eclectic. And that kind of reflection has made me want to do another journey episode. So one of the hottest topics, though, I get asked about all the time, I'm sure you do as well, Urson and Joe, is about the transition from student to business owner, not just clinician, but business owner. And that doesn't happen very often. And a lot of clinicians that are established that maybe not have even been in business, but they work in a clinic that they realize is a business, usually frown upon students becoming owners right away. And I get asked all the time, should I start a business? And I'm not alone in this. When somebody asks me, should I start a business? My answer is no. But if you're asking me, should you? That's a very clear no. And I think our job or our usefulness as mentors or business consultants or whatever it is not to tell somebody yes or no. It's to tell them how to do it. So I'm really excited for our guest today and to discuss the ins and in and outs and the mindset and all that happens with becoming a clinician. And then from that, we're actually going to have him on in 6 months and then in 12 months to see how that journey progresses. And we'll keep track of it. So, Urson, your honors, please, of introducing our guest.
Yeah, I would have to try really hard to screw this one up. You may know him on Twitter as Ryan Smith ATC, although is he DPT now or is it still ATC?
It's DPT now.
That's what I thought. Dr. Ryan Smith. He's actually one of the only PT students who may have done a full business clinical. He actually blogged about it twice on themanualtherapist.com. They were very popular posts. And there was even some flack on Twitter that he was getting from another one of my authors saying that a student should never open up a business right away, or they should focus on clinical skills. And I just thought, well, maybe you could say that if you actually owned a practice, but you don't even own a practice. So how would you even say that? I mean, everyone focuses on clinical skills, but, you know, I think, everything that Ryan has done up to this point has prepared him a lot better than I was ever prepared. And I think Joe could actually speak to what it's like to having a business mentor. So we welcome Dr. Ryan Smith, fresh PT, to the Therapy Insiders podcast.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Glad to be on and finally a speaker instead of listening all the time. So this will be cool to check out and see.
Awesome, man. So let's just jump into it then. Let's start in the beginning. Obviously, the common questions, why get into business? Why have that cliff? Why jump off the cliff from being a student to being an owner? And is there any hesitation?
Well, I guess to start from the beginning, the business mindset and kind of owner came about probably a year and a half into my DPT schooling, where when I got out into clinicals, the expectations that I had for the profession didn't necessarily meet the reality. And that kind of came from a multitude of things, but a large part of it was the insurance aspect of it and reimbursement, and the volume pushing more than the quality of care that was being given. And it really irked me, and I didn't expect that. So it kind of threw me for a loophole, and I started looking at other avenues of, one, how can I give better quality care? And two, how can I give it in a way that I can be involved in the community and not just this kind of volume-based insurance reimbursement, which I know isn't the case for every clinic, but it's hard to say once you start seeing more than two patients an hour that you're not being affected with what the kind of care you're giving. So that was kind of the beginning aspect of it. And from then on, I just kind of planned it out for the next year and a half to 2 years if this is where I wanted to be. So I'm here. The hesitation wasn't there initially, I think, but there was definitely, I mean, fear involved of what am I doing, will I succeed, etc. And especially the last week and a half of opening, I think that emotional roller coaster has been pretty real. So yeah, I guess that's how it started.
Talk us through your setup and your options as you're going through school to get to where you are now, and explain where you are now and why choose this option, and what have been some of your discoveries in terms of costs and things that you weren't really anticipating?
So I guess I am a week and a half into owning my own business, You Move Physiotherapy and Performance. It's just me, it's the sole practitioner. And I'm technically leasing space out of a CrossFit gym and a strength and conditioning gym, and kind of getting into both of those communities. And that seemed to be the best option for me, one, because if I wanted to deliver the care I wanted and be cash-based, I knew that I was going to have to eliminate costs somewhere, and that came from my overhead costs. So working with the two communities that I'm in through both gyms, I can keep my overhead costs pretty low in terms of paying percentage-based leasing programs, as well as I don't really need any equipment since they have everything. And the majority of people I see in both those gyms are, you know, somewhat comfortable with barbells and kettlebells and bands. So everything we talk about that we would like to have in clinics traditionally, I already have at my disposal, and the people are already kind of attuned to what that is. So it seemed to be the obvious choice for me was I keep overhead low, I can be involved with two communities that I really want to get involved with and work with those individuals. And every other kind of aspect or avenue I was looking just didn't seem quite plausible. Like opening up my own brick and mortar place would have been absolute nonsense, because I wouldn't be able to cover that overhead anywhere near that, especially with student loans breathing down my neck. So
what have been your startup costs so far?
Altogether, probably less than $3,000, and that's with lawyer fees and getting all the. I mean, I said to get a treatment table and all that stuff, and the majority of the overhead costs lie within my online stuff, so the website, the online scheduling, intake form, stuff like that, and then lawyer fees and buying my liability insurance, etc. So, yeah.
That's tough to beat, Joe, right? Three grand as a essentially startup cost?
Yeah, I got to get the name of your lawyer. It's like $3,000 for my lawyer to answer the phone.
Well, you should. She was the one of the speakers at Jerry's course in CSM, Erin Jackson. So she's also, I think she's the healthy lawyer on Twitter. So she started her own firm kind of off on her own and now kind of specializes in healthcare and startups. So a little shout out to her for being pretty awesome and understanding what it takes to be a PT startup. So,
yeah, seriously.
There it is.
Yeah. That
sounds like a future podcast guest.
It is. That's a good deal. That's definitely a great way to minimize your cost. I like what you're doing with the keeping the overhead low. And so percentage-wise, and you don't have to answer this, but
yes, you do.
they're taking 20-30%.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, that's about it. We're about 25-30% between the two.
Okay. Which I think is pretty standard.
Yeah, that's what I kind of got from, especially the strength conditioning gym when he leases out space to personal trainers to come in. That's about what he's paying. And honestly, if percentage at this point, I know I'm not going to have enough clients up front to even make it anywhere worth their while at the beginning in terms of what they could actually charge somebody. So it's literally they want to see me grow and give some value to the people that they're working with. So they're gracious to have those two owners on my side for that. So,
how about we cover the approach? How did you find these people? How did you approach them? How did you pitch that? Hey, I'm not even a PT yet, but I want to set up a space inside your clinic. How did that play out?
So the CrossFit gym I've kind of been working out at on and off for the last 2 years. I was in PT school. So
now, be honest.
Yeah.
Did you join just because you thought that this was
your
slow play?
Burn?
No, I joined before I even realized what I wanted to do. I was still under the impression that PT was like I was going to go into a clinic and get a job right out of school for some.
Should have lied. Would have been more impressed.
I know. I don't think that far ahead about that kind of stuff. Jeez. But yeah, so I worked at the CrossFit gym and just worked out there for the longest time and got to know them and the owners, and actually had a student DM me the other day of how that conversation went, and it was as simple as just asking. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be graduating at this time. Here's kind of my timetable and my thoughts. Would you be interested in having me in to kind of help out your members of your gym and leasing some small space out from you? And he said, yeah, and we'll figure out the details later, and that was kind of that. The other is the strength and conditioning gym. And I met him at a couple Con Ed courses that I was taking for PRI, which I know Urson is really fond of. So I got hooked up with him through that and then another student who actually worked out at his gym and helped him out with a few things. So had a nice connection there. And he's doing some great things with youth athletes. And we had lunch together and had the same vision for what we should do for training for athletes and how that relationship between strength, condition, and PT should work. And it just kind of fell into place. So lucked out there, I'd say, a lot.
So you got something out of it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, that was actually going to be my question, because I get asked that a lot about how I got into the gym that I'm in, Crunch Fitness. And, you know, I'd like to say it was something like that. And I do say just approach the owner, because usually they are interested in kind of a win-win situation. And even patients who come to see you from the outside, you can just say, hey, you know, we have this, after I discharge you, we have a deal with personal trainers that can continue on with your strength and conditioning or your training. So, but I just knew the owner, and she was one of my closest friends in PT school. So,
oh,
right. Yeah. I didn't, maybe I could lie and just say, I just asked, and they were really receptive to the idea.
Yeah.
But yeah. She asked me. So.
I think that stems all from, you know, having relationships with people going into it. I think that's been probably the biggest thing of how I've got to where I'm able to start this up, is because I made good relationships with these people and the community. So, yeah.
And it's incredibly underrated to ask. I mean, just to go over and chat with somebody. Most people play scenarios out in their head and usually come out with a worst case scenario that is typically embarrassment or being rejected. And based on that potential, don't even follow through with the action. Which just to me is incredibly unfortunate, because I have a CrossFit gym here in town where I live, and it's on the way to my son's preschool. And a couple of days ago, I was driving through, and it was right before they usually open, because when I drive by, they're usually closed, but they're open. So I stopped in, and the owner was there, and we were chatting, and I was, you know, just kind of telling him about some stuff that I do, and he said, I think that he was listened. He actually, I think he heard the Kelly Starrett podcast, because pretty sure if you don't know Kelly Starrett in the CrossFit world, you're going to get kicked out at some point. So most people know, and we were talking about it, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm the physical therapy thing. And before I even said anything, he's like, oh, are you interested in, you know, hanging out, setting up a table, setting up some information? And I was like, oh, you know, that's really nice offer. I don't have time to treat patients regularly now. So before I even said anything or proposed anything, if I was interested in that, he was so willing to do that because that's a marketing upside to him to have somebody that's trained to be there. Because most CrossFit boxes don't have that. They don't have the next level or different professional to help with the injuries, to provide some kind of feedback on a different level of biomechanical assessment or movement or something like that. So not to ask is just, I don't get it.
Well, you know, two things happen, right? You have the conversation and they're open to, you know, entertaining a win-win situation for both parties, or they're not really in the right place and they're not really open to it. And in that case, you don't want to be there anyway, because the support and the relationship would not be what you need to be successful. So having the conversation, it has to happen. But either way, you're gonna be better for having that conversation.
Right. And it's also networking. I mean, you could also do like a quick movement screen on them, tell them what your services are. And in the end, even if they don't want you or they don't have space for you, it would still probably be in their best interest to keep their athletes as healthy as possible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. So now that you're kind of getting started, you're established, have you seen any patients yet?
And before we continue with more about Ryan's practice and his journey, let's take a minute and hear a word from our sponsor, Ascend Business Summit. In the beginning of this podcast, I shared that Therapy Insiders is sponsored by Ascend Event, which is the ultimate business summit for rehab therapists. And to have the ultimate rehab summit, you have to have the ultimate award. So the Practice of the Year award for Ascend, the winner gets a full page ad in Impact Magazine celebrating their practice as the winner, $1,500 cash, 2 free tickets to next year's Ascend conference, and 1 free month of OpDoc Media digital marketing. That's a face value of $1,500, and I promise you the overall value is a lot more than that. So it's an awesome award, and with any awesome award, there has to be a story behind it and the genesis of it. So who better to tell us that story than Dr. Heidi Jananga, president of WebPT. So Heidi, give us a little inside info on the Ascend Event Award.
Yeah, we wanted to, with Ascend, to really celebrate a practice that is just doing great things in the industry. There's a lot of businesses that are struggling right now because of the regulatory changes and just the environment that we're now in private practice. And I think it's really important to learn from your peers. And so what we wanted to do is create an award that was not only just based on an application, but based on metrics, based on, you know, people within the organization, and just people that are truly giving the best patient care and with the best outcomes that they possibly can. And so last year we celebrated with Atlantic Physical Therapy, Mike and Dave Manzo, who are just killing it out in the Northeast. Our two runners-up were Diane Cicada and Kimberly Piss, the owners of the Center of Hand and Physical Therapy, and also Justine Bernard, the owners of Elements Fitness and Wellness. A great bunch of folks who just have really done cool and innovative things to have a really healthy and growing practice.
Awesome. Thanks, Heidi. So, do you have what it takes to be the Ascend Practice of the Year 2016? If you do, head over to ascendevent.com, enter all your information for a shot at $1,500 cash, full page ad in Impact Magazine, 2 free tickets to Ascend in 2017, and 1 free month of UpDoc Media digital marketing, $1,500 value. So, ascendevent.com. Let's see if you have what it takes. And now, back to Therapy Insiders, with Ryan getting to tell us if he's seen patients yet.
I have, but more so, so I'm doing discovery visits, which are free 20-minute, we'll call them consultations, to see if I'm the right fit or not for you. So I had one today and got all booked up for an eval later next week. So, and then I have about 3 or 4 more of those, and then this week coming up. So, yeah, slow but steady progress.
So that's part of a marketing campaign. So let's talk a little bit about marketing, and we'll give a shout out to our buddy yeah. Paul. You've gone through.
Yeah, it sounds like a Paul Goss thing.
You're going through Paul's yep. program, which I help out once in a while with, and it kind of helps with automation and inbound marketing and some just kind of bringing PTs to a more of a modern approach to marketing and direct to consumer type of marketing. What else have you been doing? What have you found that works, doesn't work? You're obviously, we should tell our listeners, you're in my mentorship group, the PT mentorship that I do with Jeff Moore. So it's kind of been great seeing you grow over the last year in that as well. But what have you seen that's now that you're in real life, that this is your world, you've moved away from learning and theoretical to actually implementing? What's working, what's not?
I'd say the discovery visits are insanely awesome, because I think a lot of people just want that quick conversation about what's your why, essentially, because they care about that. They want to know who they're working with. So that's been great, and I think one of the most beneficial things. The other is just I'm at the CrossFit gym, four evenings a week, and then Saturday mornings to do the actual workouts with them, and then kind of be there before and after to answer questions and, you know, look at little things here and there that pop up. I feel almost like an athletic trainer in that sense, which was my favorite setting from undergrad when I was one. So I'm there kind of within the community all the time answering little questions. And I know a lot of people have dogged me that you know, you need to charge for every minute you're doing that. And I'm like, well, at some point down the road, the value I show in these little 15 minutes before and after class is going to be the long run winner, I think, for me. So that's been great, and I think that's got my name out a lot more in both gyms, and I think that's been the biggest thing, is just making those relationships within the communities that I'm in right now.
Ryan, I think that's a great point. I do think there is value in demonstrating your knowledge, demonstrating your expertise, and really creating that reputation for yourself. But it is a slippery slope. And I think that if you're doing anything actionable, once it's free, it's always free. People always will expect it to be free. And I think that you really have to have a line, you have to draw it, you have to stick to it, and be steadfast on that. As far as making sure that when you are performing treatment. That you're billing for that time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, basically, you know, it's coming up on 19 minutes and you really realize that this person definitely needs you and they're still on the fence, or maybe it's 23 minutes and they basically want the full evaluation. Do you just transition right into it, or how are you getting the people who are kind of on the fence at the end of the 20 minutes? I know it's kind of two questions, so.
Yeah, so if they're still on the fence at the end of it, I need to get, you know, permission and be like, this is what I'm thinking, here's the plan, now I would like to go into the eval, and I have to get their permission and yes from that. I wouldn't go any further and be like, hey, there's a lot more skill set I want to utilize, but it has to be done in a PT evaluation type of way. There's only so much I can do just as a consult type thing. So that's, I kind of draw the line there. I'm like, especially if even in the first few, generally in the first few minutes, you know, if this is something you're going to need to spend a lot of time on. And I tell them that up front after their first, after they get done telling me their story. And I'm like, hey, this is something that I need to see you for an evaluation. I'm happy to answer a few questions here. But this is something I need to see you further. Here's my contact information. If you'd like to chat more, just send me an email, whatnot, that way. So that's that conversation hasn't come up as much as I'd thought. And surprisingly, more people, the person I saw today happened to be a personal trainer themselves, and they understood the time aspect of it, because they also charge for their time. So that's kind of cool to see working along those lines and that understanding being back and forth. This whole answer might change in 6 months once I see more people.
That's going to be the cool thing is to see that transition from here to now. But I think there's nothing wrong with discovery visits. I think as long as you're very honest with people and you're not uncomfortable drawing that line. And we're in a bit of a customer service field. I get that we have to have that relationship and we have to provide a solid experience. But it works both ways, right? An experience, a relationship is a back and forth. So, and I really think that within like 8 to 10 minutes, you'll have a good idea whether they are going to be a patient. And I think in those same 8 to 10 minutes, that person, you should pretty much sell the value of what you can bring in those 8 to 10 minutes as well. So if it's going beyond that, then yeah. You pretty much have a good idea how to end that relationship, not necessarily abruptly or on bad terms, but to provide value for them in guidance towards another direction.
Agreed. And if it's the sell ends up coming down to the insurance point of view, I know that they're stuck and they're not going to be able to get past that point, I'm like, hey, I'll answer the few questions you need here, but I have somebody that I highly recommend who does take insurance in the area. And I'm more than happy to refer you to them, and then I'll keep track of your progress with them to make sure you're getting everything you wanted out of that. So I know Jerry Durham talks about that all the time. If we're not the right fit for us, I'll find you someone who is and keep track of where you're at, and I've kind of taken that to heart, and that seems to be the case. So,
because it's genuinely caring, right? It's genuinely caring about the person in front of you and doing the best you can, provide the best you can to help them in whatever it is you can help them with, instead of looking them at them as this is the next $140 or the next 100 whatever dollars.
People think that, you know, giving a patient away is the same thing as referring a patient. And I've had patients who were really hung up. Maybe they saw me in the past, like 5 or 6 years ago or even longer ago when I took insurance, and they really liked my services, but they were really just hung up on going in network. So, you know, I referred to them. Basically, I said, this is the PT that I would see. You know, there's been a guy who's one of my proteges who I've been referring anyone to while I'm on paternity leave, or someone who wants to take or wants to go in network, and those people are still really happy that I referred them, and they're actually still referring me patients, even though I'm still on paternity leave. So people appreciate, and they'll pay it forward if you sent them someplace where they can still get help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed. So Ryan, plans, goals, things you want to accomplish over the next 6 months?
Oof, over the next six? I want to essentially, my thought is by wintertime, I have a caseload that I'm, you know, maintaining at a pretty regular rate. My thought is by next spring, I'm going to end up doing 10 patients a week would be my goal, and kind of get up to that point. So we'll see how that goes. I would like to, at the end of it, I'm jumping ahead here, but like the end of the year and a half into this, I'd like to end up working to get my own brick and mortar place eventually. So for the first 6 months, I really think it's just all about the hustle and getting to community events and really getting to know the people I'm with and learning as much from them as a clinician as I learn about the business and that side. So literally, I don't see a ton of change in the next 6 months other than just trying to implement and take action on what I've tried to instill as my core principles over that time. So,
what metrics are you tracking?
As I get more data, I'll know what I'll be tracking, I guess, is the best answer. But essentially, I want to take all the discovery visits. That is a terrible answer. I know. I'm waiting for it to come up in the masterminds group thing. So, but essentially, I'll take all the discovery visits, inquiries, emails, and texts I get and see what conversion rate I get from those to evaluations, and then keep track of how many evals I get, their plan of care in terms of length of time, and then how that translates to how much money I take in. So that way, eventually, I can get down to, if I see a new evaluation and patient, that patient's worth this much money, and then I can kind of set up more designated marketing plans to try to target how many people I can bring in with those. So I guess that's the long-winded answer for that part.
So by 6 months, what do you want your MRR, your monthly recurring revenue, to be?
I do not know, I guess, to be honest.
What you want, not what you know. I don't expect you to be a psychic.
What do I like it to be? Probably at that point, through $2,000 to $3,000 a month, I think, for the first 6 months would be solid.
Why are you being so hesitant about saying how much money you want to make?
I don't know. That's a mindset thing. I just finally got to the point where I feel confident in saying I'm charging this much for an evaluation, but I don't really know what this is going to scale to be.
Is that what you say, Ryan? You're charging this much?
So. I'm charging this much.
Watch this with giant hands. Oh my gosh. Like I caught a fish this big type thing. It was funny because the person I was talking to today, I told her my charge and thought I was super suave and confident about it. And she's like, oh, I thought you were going to cost way much more than that. And I'm like, oh, man.
I know. You're undercharging, I guarantee. Have you done any, or is there, in terms of market analysis, I mean, is there anyone doing anything similar in your area?
There's probably two or three clinicians, PTs, chiros that do something similar to I, but they're more of a, they go to the gyms and they get kind of a slot where they come in and people come see them and treat. There's a lot of that with dry needling that people go in and specialize with that. Other than that, there's one chiropractic office who has a couple of chiros underneath him, and they've been kind of the go-to for CrossFit gyms and strength conditioning athletes like that for the longest time. And then there's another called Columbus Fitness Consultants that does similar things like that. But for the most part, nobody's actually established themselves within one gym. It's been kind of, they do it as a part-time thing here and there. I think I'm the first one to implement it as like a full-time gig for those two things. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was also thinking about all about what you're charging in terms of, have you looked at what others were charging and price yourself competitively?
Yeah, absolutely. So especially even based off what personal trainers are charging, I'm above what that is. And I'm about on average for what Columbus, Ohio's rates are for the most part.
Yeah, I find that PTs who go into cash-based practice don't really realize what your average massage therapist or personal trainer are charging in the area, and I think we should be charging well above those.
Yeah, and I think if I had to say for the massage therapy, I'm probably 1.5 to 2 times what the majority of them in Columbus are charging, which is where I feel comfortable with that part. And 130 also just happens to be usually around a month of a CrossFit membership. So it works out well. I can just say, you know, if you don't want to waste your month of membership, spend it on me and you'll still be able to stay in the gym. So
I'm curious because I think every state is different. And I have heard conflicting things about New York, but I know I've heard in Washington that I don't think they can do this. Are you allowed to bundle visits for savings like personal trainers or massage therapists or yoga or Pilates do?
Yes, that I know from my state practice act.
Okay.
I thought that's how all states were. I didn't realize New York was slightly different.
It's not necessarily a practice act thing. What it turns out is that you're charging for things that aren't medically necessary, because let's just say someone pays you for 10 visits and you get them better in 5 visits than they paid you for 5 non-medically necessary visits is why you can't do it in some states. And I haven't really gotten a clean answer in New York, which is why I haven't done it. So I just, because people have asked for it, like bundling visits, and I know it makes sense, and potentially a way to get future visits, because you could always do a little conditioning on the side or wellness, you know, for cash based anyway. You just can't necessarily call it PT, but I'm not sure if I can do it here.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So it's not a practice act thing. It's a medical necessity thing.
Gotcha.
Very cool, man. Well, I'm really excited to keep track of your journey. I know we get these questions all the time, and I'm sure there's still a ton of information that that our listeners will want to hear. And for kind of strategically, we're not going to bombard you with very super technical questions, because I don't think that's fair at this point. On the next one, in 6 months from now, goddamn right.
Yeah. How much money did you make this week?
Yeah, you better be ready for very technical metric-driven questions. Otherwise, you might be telling us why you're not in business anymore.
Yeah, that's very true. So I'll have that all Excel sheet for you, beautifully laid out. You can take a look at it beforehand. So we'll see how that goes.
Awesome.
But again, I hope the listeners get that, even starting this out, a lot of these things I'm still unknown and unsure about. And as bad as that sounds, I think that's just part of business sometimes, is learning as you go. So we'll see.
I think that's always part of
Amen
it.
Amen to that.
Yeah. To me, it's the fear of what if is always more than the fear of the unknown. And I'd rather do it. No.
Ryan, I think this is, it's an exciting time. Anytime that you start something new, it's exciting. And I think that you channel that energy. And I'm excited for you. And I'm excited for our listeners to get to follow up with you in 6 months and to talk about your successes and your failures. In order to help other people, you know, navigate through that world of entrepreneurship. So I appreciate you doing this for us.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Ryan. I think you're doing everything right. I wish that I had a tenth of the mentorship and drive when I first graduated. I mean, my goal when I first graduated, I remember on my first job interview, I said, I'll be owning my own clinic in 5 years. And I said that to the group that I was going to be working for. They said, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And, you know, it took me about 13 years to do it. So I wish I had definitely done it a lot sooner. You know, I did the reverse thing that someone told you on Twitter to do after you posted on my blog, is to work on your physical therapy and manual therapy and evaluation skills. And I didn't really learn anything about business then. I mean, and I just got lucky. I treated a bunch of people well and I got busy, so I was able to open up a clinic. But, you know, I never did open up that brick and mortar clinic. I never had that business mentorship. And I just learned from being on Therapy Insiders and, you know, listening to a lot of people and reading a lot of stuff that Gene mentioned. So, you know, you're ready. You're so ahead of the game. I have no doubt that in 6 months, you'll have some failures, but there's going to be way more successes than failures. So I'm excited. And, you know, I kudos to you, basically.
Appreciate that. Plus all the clinical stuff I got from taking your course. I'm fine, right?
Perfect. Yeah. All those 80% are going to be rapid responders. Most of the people, and you're not going to really have a lot of centrally sensitized people or slow responders in that population. So
he's going to send those out.
Yep.
There it is. Right. Refer them out. I got just a clinic for you.
They take insurance.
Right.
Awesome, man. I think anybody that's been in business knows that it's not easy. It's a freaking grind. It's tough. It's unpredictable. You're going to fail more times than you succeed, and you're still going to wake up the next day and do it, you know, because it's something you have to do. Sure, that there's a sprinkle of you want to do it to keep you motivated and excited to do it, but I think it's in the fiber. It's in your fiber to need to actually do this. And it's scary, and that's okay. You know, it's anybody that says otherwise, that it's all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, is just being a lying sack of shit. It's hard, and you'll learn. And I think regardless if you're out right away from school or a year or 5 years or whatever arbitrary number people set on experience that you need to be ready for whatever, I still don't know where that number comes from. It's going to be hard. Sure, you might have some more experience in the clinical sense, and you might be a little bit more comfortable with that. But business-wise, unless you had an incredible owner at the clinic you're working at that focused a lot of their attention on you learning business, it's still going to be just as hard. So I'm definitely proud of you. I'm excited for your journey. I think you're level-headed enough to know that that's going to be tough, and I think you're figuring that out. And the levels of toughness, you'll figure out as you go. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that journey, and I know you've surrounded yourself strategically with enough people to help get through those tough times. And that's what the community's for, whether locally or on social media, of your peers and mentors. You know, everybody's there to help you succeed and push you forward. And wishing you the best.
Yeah, appreciate that, Gene. Thanks a lot.
So what about you? Your closing thoughts for the listeners, for the students, for anybody with even an inkling of business drive or push?
Oh, I'd say my hands down closing thought is this isn't an impossible task. And I think the idea is a lot easier to get going, and it's great to talk about. But the few that will take action, I think those are the people that really need to just strive for it. Because it's great to talk about it throughout your schooling, but if you don't end up taking that first step and start taking action, you'll never get to that point of where you're going to be. And I think that probably encompasses a large percentage of the people who are talking about biz PT right now. So just go out and do it. You'll learn. There's a lot less risk if you manage it correctly than you think. And even people who tell you that you really can't, that's not really the case with the ability that we have in the 21st century now to market. And so lots of opportunities. Go out there and take action, I'd say. As you would say, launch the motherfucker. So there you go.
Indeed. That's our tag, our slogan on our PT mastermind. All right, man. So if our listeners want to get a hold of you, where can they find you?
So on Twitter, it's Ryan Smith_DPT or @YouMoveFysio. On Instagram as @YouMoveFysio. Website is YouMoveFysiotherapy.com. And then Snapchat is RyanSmith.DPT, which I'll be doing mostly geared towards DPT students, showing kind of a life in the day of over the next couple of weeks or months if they want to check that out. So lots of me eating pizza and going to the gym occasionally.
Pizza?
Vegetarian pizza, Harrison. Right. Don't worry
about it.
Cheese
curd pizza.
Cheese curd pizza, yeah, yeah.
Sushi pizza.
That's all right. I still eat pizza.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us, man. We look forward to checking in 6 months. Obviously, you're pretty active on social media, so listeners, definitely check that out. All right. Hope you enjoyed that episode of Therapy Insiders with Dr. Ryan Smith. A lot of stuff in there. Obviously, Ryan's journey is just beginning into business and a lot of lessons to learn, and it is tough, as you've heard us say on this podcast. There's no sugarcoating that, and it really is. Anybody that tells you that it's easy or it happens overnight or there's anything less than just grinding, figuring stuff out, and failing often is lying to you. But it's still worth it if that is what you have to do. That's what it comes down to, understanding that it's going to be an uphill climb, but it's worth it. So if you want to ask any questions for Ryan, check him out. We are going to follow up in 6 months, see where Ryan and his business are. As always, thank you for listening to Therapy Insiders. Check us out on iTunes. Please leave us a review. It's been incredible, all your reviews, all your insights. And tweet at us at Therapy Insiders for me, at the OMPT for Urson, and at Joe DPT for Joe. It's our favorite part, is the engagement and the conversations on social media afterwards. So as always, thanks for listening, and catch you next week on Therapy Insiders Podcast.